Good morning, everyone. Please be seated. A few announcements this morning. The first is that yesterday was a fantastic fundraising event. It was so much fun, and I don't think there has ever been a church fundraiser that I've walked away from thinking, oh, we didn't charge enough for that. It was an incredible evening. So big thanks to everyone who was involved on putting that together. Another announcement, this evening is a big show, so it is my installation, and you're all invited to come back. If you can't get enough church, this is the weekend for you. So there is another service at 7 o'clock tonight, which will be my installation. We have visiting guests from Calgary, the Diocese of Brandon that I know of, and Diocese of Toronto. Some are coming down, so a great opportunity to meet and to connect with people, and I think it's going to be a lovely service. The last announcement that I have, next Sunday, when we typically celebrate All Saints Day, we are going to be having a baptism that day. And that baptism is going to be wonderful, but there's an old long-standing tradition in St. James of reading the name of those who've departed on that Sunday. And having a baptism and reading the names of people that have departed is, I'm not sure that that's the vibe that we're going for with a baptism. So I've decided to have a very special service on November 2nd, which is a Thursday at 7 p.m. that is going to be completely dedicated to the remembering of those that we've loved and lost and see no longer. And so at that service, you'll be invited to come, light candles, to have the names of loved ones read out in the church, regardless of how long ago they've passed. I know that it's been 6 years since I've lost my mom, and I still grieve her, and to say that I can't write her name on a list to be remembered would be not pastorally acceptable. And so this is a time for us to gather and remember those that we love and lost and see no longer. So that I'm really looking forward to as a special event. So that's November 2nd at 7 p.m. And Steve, I think you have an announcement.
Yes, let me just echo my thanks, along with Michael's, to all of the musicians and vocalists who participated in our gala on Friday and Saturday night, and to everybody who worked on the organizational and food preparation side of things. It was just a wonderful weekend, and we had a great time participating and putting that on for everyone who attended. This afternoon, thank you, Peter. This afternoon, just in case you haven't been in the building enough maybe today, at 1:15, we have a special mini concert with the Amabile Choirs. They have in the past come and sung at our church services, and we thought we'd try this out for the anniversary weekend. So it'll be a 45-minute concert from 1:15 till 2 p.m. Admission is free, and we've advertised it throughout the neighborhood and the community, and hope we have good attendance this afternoon. So if you can make it, we'd love to see you there. Thanks so much.
Over to Barb.
Let us pray. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts be open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. O Almighty and most merciful God, of thy bountiful goodness keep us. We beseech thee from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready both in body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish those things that thou wouldst have done. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of persons we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
Be with you.
And also with you.
This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew. Glory to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
The Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with some of the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one. For you do not regard the people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus was aware of their malice and said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let us profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ,
the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, through whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. So we're coming to a point in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus has been out in the wilderness. He's called his disciples to him, inviting all sorts of people to follow him. He's led them throughout the countryside doing miracles of healing, of restoration, and building up the kingdom of God, showing that God's presence can be there among all types of people. And he set his sights on Jerusalem and has entered in Jerusalem and has begun teaching things that are not making him very popular. Last week was one of the parables that Jesus told that was a particularly rough one to deal with, where he said, if you're not wearing the proper thing, you're cast out into the outer darkness. He's starting to say things that people are finding a little bit uncomfortable. And there was a saying that resonated with me, and it's, if God thinks all the same things that you think, and if God believes all the same things that you believe, you might be worshiping your own ego and not God. God is a challenging God to follow. What Jesus commands us is taxing and demands a level of humility that I, and I think most human beings, find difficult to achieve. And so here we have a scene where Jesus is teaching these hard messages, pointing out the faults of others and saying, you know, you're lovely people, but you've got things that you need to work on. And he's doing that to the powerful people of Jerusalem, people that aren't used to being corrected. And so the Pharisees, the biblical lawyers, the ones that interpret the scriptures and lay out the code of life that all must follow, are getting a little bit ticked off that Jesus is not doing what they do and not saying what they say. And so they come up with an idea. Jerusalem at that time is under Roman imperial occupation. They are a tribute state to the great and colossal juggernaut that was the Roman Empire. And as part of that, they were ordered to give tribute to the emperor. They were ordered to pay taxes. But on that coin had the picture of Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus, a god in himself in the Roman tradition. And so they bring in some people that are supportive of the Roman cause, people that have power and authority that they can get things done. And if somebody says that the emperor isn't a god, that is a heresy punishable by death. And so they're trapping Jesus. They're saying to Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem? If Jesus was to say yes, well, then he's affirming the divinity of the emperor. Then that's something that the Pharisees can say, ha, got you. If he says, no, don't pay taxes, well, then the imperial sympathizers can say, oh, he's denying the divinity of the empire, so we can throw him out and kill him. It's a no-win situation for Jesus. They've got him. And so what does Jesus do? But he calls for a coin that's used to pay the taxes and asks, whose head is this on the coin? And he gives that famous line, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. A pretty succinct and intelligent and clever answer. And so we see here Jesus avoiding the best laid trap of humankind. The desires of the two different groups that are finding Jesus too political, they've laid their trap and Jesus sidesteps it. But his question also rings for us today. It makes us think, if Jesus was standing before you in conversation and asked you the question, what in your life is God's and what in your life is Caesar's? Would we know how to answer? If Jesus told us to give unto God what is God's, what would we give? What would we give? Now, that's an answer that I don't have for you. I don't know in your life what God has given you. I don't know what God is calling you to give in return. But what I do know is that we sort out those hard questions in community. This Sunday, we celebrate 150 years of a church family, a place where easy answers aren't given, where the line isn't drawn out so clearly that it's easy to follow, but a community in which we wrestle and work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as Paul says. God is in this place, and God has given us this place so that we can wrestle with the hard questions of, what has God given me that I give back? What is God doing in my life? How is God present in the joys and in the sufferings, in the totality of our existence? How is God present in the life of Tim? How is God present in the life of Jim? We work these things out in an amazing community, in a place where God is present and made known in such an incredible way. Last night, we did not sing any church songs whatsoever. And yet God was there. God was in the fellowship and in the friendship. God was in the laughter and the camaraderie. And it's in these things that we live our lives, full of the joy and the sorrow, the heartache and the struggle, and the success and achievement. Within that community, God is being made known. And so, what a wonderful gift to us that God has given us this place. So when someone stands at the front of the church, looks at you and asks a question as difficult as, what in your life is God's and what in your life is the world's? We have each other to lean upon as we figure out those things. God is good, and God is good all the time. And so let us not only rejoice and give thanks, but also live out our faith as authentically as we can in this place, in our God-given life, in our God-given community, rejoicing that for 150 years, God has been present, moving and working, answering questions in unique and varied ways, and knowing that God will be here well past our time, that God will continue to form community far into the future. Let us rejoice and be glad in our God. Amen. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, forever and ever. All that is in the heavens and the earth is thine. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee.
Offer unto God the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And they came, everyone whose heart was stirred up, and everyone whose spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering. Blessed are they that considereth the poor and needy. The Lord shall deliver them in the time of trouble.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, who by thy holy apostles has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people, we humbly beseech thee most mercifully to accept our alms and oblations and to receive these our prayers, which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all they that do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. We beseech thee also to lead all nations in the way of righteousness, and so to guide and direct their governors and rulers, that thy people may enjoy the blessings of freedom and peace. And grant unto thy servant Charles, our king, and to all that are put in authority under him, that they may truly and impartially administer justice to the maintenance of thy true religion and virtue. Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops, priests, and deacons, and especially to thy servant Todd, our bishop, that they may both by their life and doctrine set forth thy true and living word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Prosper, we pray thee, all those who proclaim the gospel of thy kingdom among the nations, and to all thy people give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all them who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially for those whom our prayers are desired. We remember before thee, O Lord, all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, and we bless thy holy name for all who in life and death have glorified thee, beseeching thee to give us grace that, rejoicing in their fellowship, we may follow their good examples, and with them be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Grant this, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Ye that do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins, and are in love and charity with your neighbors, and intend to lead the new life following the commandments of God, and walking from henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith, and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and make your humble confession to Almighty God. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things and judge of all people, we acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, which we from time to time most grievously have committed, by thought, word, and deed, against thy divine majesty. We do earnestly repent, and are heartily sorry for these our misdoings. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, for thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may ever hereafter serve and please thee in newness of life, to the honor and glory of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, who of his great mercy hath promised forgiveness of sins to all them that with hearty repentance and true faith turn unto him, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Hear what comfortable words our Savior Christ saith unto all that truly turn to him. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hear also what St. Paul saith. This is a true saying, and worthy of all to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hear also what St. John saith. If any one sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto our Lord God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is very meet, right, and our bounden duty, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God, Creator and Preserver of all things. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and singing. Blessing and glory and thanksgiving be unto thee, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of thy tender mercies didst give thine only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who made there, by his one oblation of himself once offered, a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world, and did institute, and in his holy gospel command us to continue a perpetual memorial of that his precious death until his coming again. Hear us, O merciful Father, we most humbly beseech thee, and grant that we, receiving these thy creatures of bread and wine, according to thy Son, our Savior Jesus Christ's holy institution, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this as oft as ye shall drink it, in remembrance of me." Wherefore, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, we, thy humble servants, with all thy holy church, remembering the precious death of thy beloved Son, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming again in glory, do make before thee in this sacrament of the holy bread of eternal life and the cup of everlasting salvation the memorial which he hath commanded. And we entirely desire thy fatherly goodness, mercifully to accept this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, most humbly beseeching thee to grant that by the merits and death of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and through faith in his blood, we and all thy whole church may obtain remission of our sins and all other benefits of his passion. And we pray that by the power of thy Holy Spirit, all we who are partakers of this holy communion may be fulfilled with thy grace and heavenly benediction. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory be unto thee, O Father Almighty, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with thy spirit.
We do not presume to come to this thy table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in thy manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, So to eat the flesh of thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Let us pray. Glory to God. whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship has come to a close, yet our service to God's world begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.